Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22 Pacific Summer Time, and today is Monday, September 8th. Well, today was a pretty eventful day in a number of markets. Well, if we just start with stocks, then, well, the Chinese market, which has really been appreciating pretty steadily and over the last week, was closed today for the Mid-Autumn Festival, but it will reopen tomorrow. The Hong Kong market was relatively steady. Well, the Japanese market, it hasn't moved a great deal, but it does look increasingly likely that this weakness in the yen will begin to translate into some positive returns for the stock market before long. Well, the currency markets are where there's a lot of action, and we'll come to that in a moment. Elsewhere in Asia, the Indian market continues to appreciate. It's being led higher by the banks. Well, that banking sector has led both to the upside and the downside, and it is now at a position of outperformance, and you've had a fairly impressive breakout in the last 10 days that's helping to support this market. Well, you're getting a re-rating of India. It's just a remarkable situation. And well, you're getting massive value creation by virtue of the fact that governance is improving. Well, of course, India, it might not be the only country where governance is improving, but there is an increasingly sharp contrast between the countries where governance is improving and where it is deteriorating. Well, in Europe today, the majority of markets were, well, reasonably unchanged, but I guess most were down a little bit. The two big stories are that, well, people are still getting to grips with the fact that the ECB is engaging in quantitative easing, but that we're 10 days away from Scotland's independence vote. Well, regardless of how one feels about the situation, it represents uncertainty. And the pound today was lower by 2 full cents against the dollar. Well, it's at 161.07 right now, and at the beginning of July, it was close to about 170, a bit higher than that, in fact. Well, this might be a situation where you get to sell the rumor and buy the news, that if one thinks about it logically, then the majority of people are selling the pound today because they're uncertain about which way the vote is going to go. If Scotland decides to actually leave the UK, well, then the budget transfers that go to Scotland will cease, and the London financial sector will have a greater weighting in the economy. Well, for all intents and purposes, the pound has been a reflection of the health of the financial sector, and that would suggest that it will probably bounce back following its deterioration. Well, if the Scots vote to stay with the UK, then the deterioration that we've seen recently will probably look like it's been a bit overdone. So the chances are that what is developing as a short-term overbought condition is likely to be unwound in the aftermath of whatever the decision is likely to be. Well, the euro was also a little bit weaker in here today. It's down to 128.98. It's also given up about 10 cents over the last 10 weeks. Well, the euro might be oversold in the short term, but, well, certainly the ECB has got a vested interest in having a weak currency, and that you would need to have really a substantial rally, and you'd need to see it finding support at progressively higher levels to really start to lend credence to a bullish euro bet. Well, if you're looking at the euro, the yen, and the pound, and they all have positions of weakness, well, then the dollar index has been surging. So there really is quite a lot of action in these currency markets. And it is within the major currency markets that you're getting the largest moves. With that said, the Aussie dollar was weaker today by about a full cent, and the Canadian dollar by a bit less than a full cent. So this is a pretty broad-based rally by the US dollar. Well, with that in mind, then the S&P 500 closed out the day at 2,000. Well, I guess it is worth pointing out with the dollar index that it is coming up now following, well, four pretty powerful weeks, consecutive weeks to the upside, is coming up to a potential area of resistance in the region of 85. But while you might get some consolidation in that area, you'd really need a clear downward dynamic to confirm any kind of meaningful resistance there. Well, with this reasonably powerful dollar rally going on, the price of gold was weaker today by about $12. It's down now to $1,250. The price of silver, well, it steadied a bit last week, but it's given up that advance, and it's at $19 even. In here today, it was down 15 cents. Well, $19, at least the region of $19, has been an area of support in a number of occasions over the last year. And, well, we've seen some pretty powerful rallies. Well, I participated in the last one. I'm sort of looking at it now and thinking, well, would it be better to be buying it now or maybe wait until around, you know, a test of the $18.50 level? Well, I think probably a lot of people will be asking the same question, which would probably bolster the potential for it to steady in this region. But, well, I think I'm going to wait for the first upward dynamic. I think that taking a leverage position in something that's overbought or oversold at the present moment, when you have such a high degree of uncertainty, I'd like to see some form of bullish catalyst, at least personally. Well, the S&P continues to hover here at 2,000. Well, this is a big round number that we've seen it pause in this region, well, really over, well, since the middle of August, but that it had been ranging below that level for much of July. So, well, the market isn't doing much of anything. Well, of course, you had Boeing surging ahead today on Ryanair's purchase of high-capacity 737s, but, well, that's an individual story that's very particular to just the equities concerned, but that most people will be looking at this market and thinking, well, do I really want to be the person that's going to pay, be the first person to pay $2,050 for the index? Well, let's let someone else do that. Well, that's generally why you get some pause and consolidation in the region of really big round numbers. But, well, has anything really happened to the monetary environment to shake the complacency of the bulls, the people that have held on to those long positions for the last few years? And you'd have to answer that question with no, nothing has really happened, and that the progression of higher reaction lows remains very much intact. Well, Wall Street continues to exhibit very impressive relative strength, and by virtue of the fact that the dollar has been so firm, well, then foreign investors have been doing rather well, even though the market hasn't gone anywhere in nominal terms. Well, in the commodity markets, the industrial metal complex remains pretty steady. And, well, nickel was a bit firmer in here today, and copper continues to hover above this $3 level, and it's been hovering above this level for much of the year. Well, the industrial metal complex has been recovering. Well, that's not that you can't say the same thing for the iron ore market. I think there was an Australian iron ore miner went out of business today, and, well, that's an example of the oligarchy of BHP Valley and Rio Tinto really putting pressure on smaller producers, that they aim to protect their oligarchy and they are flooding the market with supply in order to drive some of the smaller companies out of business. Well, that's putting pressure on iron ore prices, but it's not quite the same situation in all the other industrial metals, so that you're seeing positions of relative strength in those companies that are not particularly focused on iron ore, but that have got a focus on nickel or a focus on lead or zinc. In the crude oil markets, well, Brent crude was as low today as $91.80 and finished out the day around $93. Well, it's now at this area in the $90 area, which has, well, it's where the last higher reaction low was. That WTI has had this progression of higher reaction lows over the last 3 years within the context of a 3-year range. Whereas there has been a progression of lower rally highs evident within Brent crude's 3-year range, and it's back testing the $100 area. Well, $100 is the area where Saudi Arabia has said that well, they represent it as fair value, and that's where they want the price. They would that's where prices would trigger action by them to limit their supply in order to support the price. Well, let's see what happens. But again, this is another market where you have an oversold condition, and there is the potential for some steadying in the region of a round number. Well, we've had some pretty violent moves both up and down over the last couple of weeks, and well, certainly the geopolitical tension just about everywhere. If it's not outright conflagration, it's the threat of war or the threat of secession, and that is introducing this high degree of uncertainty. Well, when you look at the government bond prices today, they were pretty steady, but well, Euro bunds are still in the region of this 150 area in terms of price, and close to all-time lows in terms of yields. Well, when you have ultra-low yields and ultra-low interest rates, the risk premium in equity markets by some definitions is very, very high, and that's used as the justification to continue to increase long positions. But it also, it's an example of justification for continuing to back the momentum in a trend. Well, it also highlights the fact that when one of the when conditions begin to change, that we are going to see a meaningful move in equity markets, but there's absolutely no evidence of it just yet. Well, I think with that I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.